Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Our God, as we approach your word, help us not to do so lightly in speaking and proclaiming, Father, or in hearing, but may we remember what this is, the very words of life. So God, move in us now to approach you with a reverence, with a love, Lord, and with expectation. Father, do not let me and my heart get in the way. But Father, come forth with power according to your word, according to who you are. And we ask, Father, that you would be glorified now as we hear, as we are transformed, as we are more and more who you call us to be. Father, loving you and being your children. Indeed, as well as in name. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a TV show that I caught a piece of. It's called Undercover Boss. And what they do is they take these CEOs of these companies, they put them in disguise, and they go and they work in the midst of their employees. And their employees have no idea that they're working with their CEO of their company. So they work alongside of them and things start to come out. One such company, the boss had to work with this woman and go into a crawl space under a house. And he hated it and he was doing a terrible job. And this employee said to the boss, wow, you win the big fat baby award for being in the crawl space. And later on in the show, the boss said, you know what, maybe I should let you know who I am. He revealed that he's the CEO of her company, that he's the boss, that he has full power and full authority over her. As you approach God, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who he is? If someone would be cautious at coming to the CEO of their company, how much more so should we be cautious as we come to our Savior, as we come to our Judge, as we come to the King of heaven and earth? And it's not as if we have an option. We see in this passage here that we are told, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. We have this obligation and this command to come before Him continuously, speaking to Him. And indeed, this is one of your vows. We say in our membership vows, to the end that you may grow in the Christian life, do you promise that you will diligently read the Bible and engage in private prayer? You took this vow before the King of heaven and earth. You took this vow before the assembly. As we're considering this now, as we considered last week, the reasons that we should come before Him and the reasons that we should praise Him as we do come before Him. So the call for you this morning is for you to praise God in the midst of your prayers. Praise Him in the midst of your prayers, in morning and night, day by day, without ceasing. The first reason that we do this, and I'm going to have you go ahead and turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. This is the scene before the throne of God. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. This idea of holiness largely escapes us, but it has a very deep meaning. The word holy means to be set apart. We have things that are for common use, and we have things that are set apart for a special use. I'm sure you have things like this. You'd have things in your home. You have things that you would kick around, or clothes that you would just kick around and wear and work in. But then there's other things that you wouldn't dream of going out and working in the barn in these things. Things set apart. Well, God Himself is supposed to be set apart, and indeed is set apart. But oftentimes we fail to recognize that. Those of you who are parents, and all of us who have grown up, have had the time where we've made the mistake of wearing our good clothes to play in, and we've gotten in trouble for that, or our children have gotten in trouble for that, because there was something that was supposed to be set apart, but it was used for a common use. You see, God is set apart. He is holy, not just holy, though. We see that even the perfect angels in heaven cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." And as they do, the temple shakes for God's holiness. Now, as we consider God's holiness, in Psalm 89, verse 18, it says, "For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel." Israel's you. Now, I want you to take this in for a moment. This Holy One is your Holy One. Your Holy One. The one that belongs to you, you belong to Him. He is your God. You are His people. And He's yours. Yours. Grab that relationship for a moment. It's as if, and it's more than as if, this is the reality, we walk through a world of filth. We walk through a world of stain. We walk through a world of misery and of pain and of hurt. And we look at one another and you see the sin on me, and I look at you and I see the sin on you. We drive down the street and we see the misery and we see the sin. And as we look and see nothing clean, nothing perfect, only everything dirty, we huddle together and we look and there's one thing perfect. One thing perfect. Your Holy One. Your Holy One. The Lord God of hosts. Because of this, you must praise Him as you pray. Praise Him because He is holy and your Holy One. Next, praise God who will reign over every nation on earth. Psalm 86:9 says, "All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name." This is hard for, well, in some ways it's hard for me to get my head around. In other ways it's not. As I've worked in Eastvale, and this church has worked in Eastvale for over a century now, and it says that all nations will come and glorify Christ. And we look at our midst and we've labored here and we've worked here and we've shared the gospel here and we've served here and proclaimed and done vacation Bible schools and outreaches and we've banged on doors and we've invited people to worship again and again. And yet, how many people who live in Eastvale are here this morning? We love you, Kathy. Yes, and we have the Durr girls. But we look and we would expect, as God says, that the nations will indeed come. Where are they? So on one hand, this is difficult to see. On the other hand, we look at who God is. We look at what He has done. We look at what He has already accomplished in our own hearts and what He has already brought us from. we look and we see the gospel started on the other side of the planet, brought here, and we look and we see one another and see that he does have the power to change hearts, we know that he will accomplish what he says he will accomplish. We know that every nation will indeed come, that hearts more and more will be changed by the Holy Spirit, and people will praise him. Now we look, and as we look at the scripture, Christ had already said in Matthew that all authority on heaven and earth had been given to him. We look and see that he is already king, that he already reigns. We look and then we might ask, then why the pain and why the suffering? Well, it's because people are still rejecting him. But he reigns. He is in authority. He does have all power. So then, if we are to praise him because he is over every nation and he will rule every nation, why are we in such a mess? Why do you hurt because of other people's sins? Why do you hurt because of your own sin? Why do we decay? Why do we fall apart? I'm going to have you turn with me to Exodus chapter 34, and we'll spend the rest of the sermon there. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Then the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. We're going to focus for this moment. The Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious and slow to anger. I want us to think for a moment about God being slow to anger and why we should praise him because he is slow to anger. As you and I look and as we look and see this world, there is so much injustice. And you and I, if we were in charge, most likely would be quick to dispense justice, to undo all wickedness that we could. But as we look, we see a God who is slow to anger. And in many ways, we may hate this. We may hate this as we see suffering continue, as we see sufferings prolonged. But this is actually an attribute of God that you and I must embrace and praise him for. I'll ask you, if you would choose for God to no longer be slow to anger, if you were to choose justice now, what would it mean for you? What would it mean if God were to say, you know what? Okay, you're right. I will be just and I will be swift and no longer slow to anger. What would it mean for you if justice would now be swiftly done from this moment forth? What would it mean if the next time you sinned, you received the full punishment that your sin deserves? Would any of us make it out of the service alive? Could you make it out of this service alive if you got what you deserved swiftly? Last one standing gets to come finish the sermon. Because I'm not going to make it. You see, you have a God who is slow to anger, and for that you must praise him. Otherwise, each of us would be undone before the clock struck 12. You see, we have this God who is gracious. in the word for patience that we see in the New Testament. I read this early on and it struck me. It's long suffering. The word is long suffering. The Greek word, I don't know if this means anything to y'all, is makrothumio. And I remember it because it kind of sounds like long suffering. Makrothumio. I've had friends that would sit and talk to me for a long time and complain about their lives, and this word would just keep running through my head. Makrothumio. Makrothumio. This long suffering. Your God is long suffering with you. He continuously has suffered through each one of your crimes and your sins. And you should praise Him for that. You should indeed praise Him for that. Next, we look at the way that this plays out in our lives. We praise Him who is slow to anger. But we'll look again at Exodus 34:6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate. Praise Him because He is compassionate. Listen to this definition of compassionate that I found helpful. And think of this in terms of God and your relationship with God now. Compassionate. Feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Can you see Christ that way? Can you see Christ that way? Having a deep feeling of sympathy for you in your sorrow? Having this deep sympathy for you stricken by misfortune? Can you see Christ having this desire to alleviate your suffering? I hope so. This is God's word about Himself, and oftentimes we reject it. We say it hurts too bad. I am in too much sorrow. I am in too much misery. He can't care the way that He says He does. The Lord rebuke you if you are there. The Lord is compassionate. You should see the very gospel in this definition. As the Lord Jesus Christ looks and sees you suffering and afflicted. As He has a deep desire to rescue you from the midst of your suffering and your affliction. And as He does what it takes to rescue you. So you must praise Him. Praise Him in the midst of your sorrow and your pain as you pray, remembering that He is compassionate. Maybe I heard this story one time. It was of someone who was made a saint long ago. And the story goes that there was a beggar sitting in the cold and in the mud, freezing and dying in the winter and in the snow. And the snow was blowing and a knight comes walking by. And this is in the days where a knight and a commoner were separate. You had your nobility and you had someone else that couldn't even speak to them unless called upon. And the story goes, the knight comes walking by in this warm red cloak and he stops and he looks down as the wind is blowing and cutting and he looks and he sees this person shriveled and dying in their misery. And he reaches out and he takes his sword and he draws it. And the person quakes with fear now. And he draws back his sword and he grabs his cloak and he cuts off his cloak that was fastened to his armor. And he bent down in the mud and in the snow and in the blowing wind. And he wrapped this warm cloak around this beggar. That's you. Christ giving up his own comfort. Not considering equality with God something to be held on to, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant to wrap you in warmth. That's you. Praise this Christ who is compassionate. Look with me again at Exodus 34:6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious. His graciousness, you're going to hear it again and again here. Because grace is what you have received. Our fancy way of saying it is unmerited favor. The other way to say it is being loved when we didn't deserve it. Being loved when we didn't deserve it. And that's us. That is you. Loved when you didn't deserve it. And you know what? Loved now when you don't deserve it. It's great to think, isn't it, that we're here. And I said in the beginning of the service that that is a huge blessing and we should look at one another and rejoice in this blessing. As we said that God drew a line in the sand this morning and said, if you're for me, come worship me. And here we are. Here we are. And that's great and that's beautiful. We look around and see one another and yes, these are our brothers and our sisters who have crossed the line with us and have entered into the kingdom and have come together to praise him. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? It's because he gave you a new heart. He gave you a heart to love him. He gave you a heart to praise him. He put a new song in your mouth, a hymn of praise to him. So here we sit in the household of God. Here we sit to praise him. Here we sit to hear him. Because he gave you a heart to do so. Grace. Grace. And the beauty of this is because it didn't hinge on you. It won't be taken away or thrown away by you. You are saved by grace that does not hinge on you. Held fast. You are held secure, and though the wind will blow, though the earth may shake, though heaven and earth will be removed, though the mountains be thrown into the sea, you will not be undone because of grace. So praise him for it. So praise him for it. Day and night, without seeking, pray and praise him for it. Now, look with me at Exodus 34, moving on to the next verse, verse 7. I'll read verse 36 again and go into verse 7. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Next reason we praise him. We praise God who gives salvation to the lost. As I looked at this verse and I pondered and it says, who forgives iniquity. Well, iniquity is sin. And we look and it says, who forgives transgression. Well, transgression is sin too. And we look and sin. So he forgives iniquity and transgression, and he forgives sin. And you want to go and you want to sit down and study. Well, what's iniquity? What's transgression? And what sin do we need to go and look and unpack all of this? Well, Matthew Poole said it this way. It says, sins of all sorts and sizes, secret or open, infirmities or presumptions against God or man, every violation of God's will. God who is faithful in loving kindness and forgives all of your sins and transgressions. But it also says here, but will not release the guilty. He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. So what is the answer? What is the answer? The answer, as always, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The penalty that you deserved, the punishment, the wrath, poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we praise God who gives salvation to the lost. Do you know that you need salvation? Do you know it? Do you know that you are utterly and totally lost apart from Christ? Do you know it? Do you cling to the Lord Jesus Christ as your only rescue? Knowing that if you were able to let go, knowing that if He let you go, you would be lifted up and hurled into the lake of fire for all eternity. If you know that, if you know that, if you cling to that, if you wait for that last great day of judgment and know that if God says, "Why should I let you into my kingdom?" and you know that you can say, "Christ paid for my crimes, and He was righteous." And you must praise Him for your great salvation. Praise Him every day for your great salvation. But if you think you're good enough, if you think you're good enough, if you think you don't deserve the fire, tremble. Tremble. Fear from the bottom of your heart because you stand condemned even now. And at any time that the veil is taken away between you and eternity, you will be lost. Your lost condition will be revealed. Know that you need Him. Know that you need Him. This great sacrifice, and apart from it, you are lost. So all of this is so that you'll know Him more. All of this is to look at the reasons why you must praise Him, so that you know who you're talking to when you pray. You know this holy God. You know this God who will reign over everything and indeed reigns over everything. You know this God who has been makrothumio with you, long suffering with you. This God who has been compassionate with you, and this God who has given you so great a salvation. So approach Him every day. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Approach Him. Praise Him. Rejoice in all of His goodness. Pray with me now. God, our God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, we do praise You, God, and give us hearts to praise You, to reach out to You daily. God, be glorified as we walk with You, speaking with You day and night. And make us more and more a people who commune with You in prayer moment by moment. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.